One of my favorite biblical heroes is Nehemiah. Despite intense opposition, he courageously mobilized a community to accomplish the impossible. What can we learn about growing leaders from God's story about Nehemiah? The biblical narrative picks up Nehemiah's story as he's serving as an official wine tester in the service of King Artaxerxes, king of the mighty Persian Empire. All is going well until an entourage from Jerusalem shows up on Nehemiah's doorstep. They bring news of the state of Jerusalem. It's not a happy story. In fact, Nehemiah weeps. He pours out his heart to God. And 4 months later, Nehemiah is still grieved over the state of Jerusalem. It's so bad that the king notices and asks him about his sadness. Nehemiah shares why his heart is broken, and after praying, asks the king for permission to go back to Jerusalem to address the problem. He also asks for a letter of safe conduct and a letter that would secure wooden beams for the city gates. Because God's gracious hand is upon Nehemiah, the king grants Nehemiah's requests. Well, when Sanballat and Tobiah, two local governors in the region around Jerusalem, hear that someone has come to promote the welfare of the Israelites, they're royally ticked off. After being in Jerusalem 3 days, Nehemiah sets out at night to inspect the walls. He gathers the people and he says, "You see the trouble we're in? Look, Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we'll no longer be in disgrace." The people, they rally to Nehemiah's vision, and they begin the work. However, right from the start, Sanballat, Tobiah, and a new ally, Geshem, oppose the rebuilding effort. They're apparently threatened by the possibility of a resurgent Israel. They mock and ridicule the workers. But listen to Nehemiah's response. "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start building. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." Many people from different walks of life join the building project. You've got goldsmiths, perfume makers, merchants, rulers, priests, Levites, and others taking on sections of the wall. People from other cities also join the locals in their rebuilding efforts. As the building project progresses, Sanballat and Tobiah continue to ridicule the workers. Listen to what they say. "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Now get this. Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, goes on to say, "What they are building, if even a fox climbed on it, he would break down their wall of stones." Ouch! Well, how does Nehemiah actually respond? In typical fashion, he prays, "Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity." Despite the opposition, the people work with all their heart until the wall is half done. Of course, Israel's enemies are not impressed and begin to plot how they will attack Jerusalem. Nehemiah, again, responds with prayer and by posting a guard day and night to meet the threat. At this point, the Jewish workers begin to get discouraged and really overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of the task. It's huge. Some of the Jews are intimidated by the ongoing barrage of threats. Nehemiah addresses this challenge by stationing guards at the lowest points in the wall. He encourages the workers by saying, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." From that point on, all the workers carry a weapon and the work continues. If protecting themselves from attack wasn't enough, Nehemiah also faces another significant challenge. Famine had ravaged the land, and some of the wealthy Jews had loaned money to their struggling neighbors. The problem? They were also charging interest on the loans, which was a huge no-no. Some of those who had received loans had already sold their children as slaves because of their inability to pay back what they owed. Now, if I was Nehemiah, I would have been tempted to put this issue on hold until the wall was done. Yet Nehemiah wisely recognizes that God's blessing was contingent upon the people's obedience. Sin in the camp could potentially undermine the accomplishment of God's vision. So Nehemiah confronts the guilty parties, and they make things right. Well, even though the walls were taking shape quickly, Israel's enemies had not given up. Their new tactic? To lure Nehemiah out of the city. However, Nehemiah discerns their evil intent and replies, "I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" At every turn, Sanballat and his allies try to frighten and discourage the Jews, hoping that their hands will get too weak to carry on the work. But Nehemiah prays, "Now strengthen my hands, Lord." Nehemiah's enemies even pay one of the Jews to lure Nehemiah into the temple under the pretense that someone is trying to assassinate Nehemiah. Doing so would have been a sin and would have discredited Nehemiah's leadership. Nehemiah stands firm. After much prayer and hard work, the people complete the wall in just 52 days. As Nehemiah reports, "When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God." With God's help, Nehemiah did the impossible. Yet what was it about Nehemiah that made him such a useful vessel in God's hands? I would suggest that God's story about Nehemiah shows us six important leadership practices that can help us focus on what is most important as we seek to grow and help others grow as leaders whom God can use in a maximum way. These six practices are growing a deeper relationship with God, developing godly character, discerning personal calling, growing deep communities, building healthy teams, and strengthening skills. Growing a deeper relationship with God, we see that Nehemiah was a man of prayer. Prayer was a knee-jerk response for him. He got down on his knees and prayed when he heard about the devastation in his beloved city of Jerusalem. He confessed the sins of the people, including himself, who had brought this destruction upon themselves. He prayed before asking the king for permission to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah responded with prayer to the opposition from the local governors around Jerusalem. It's evident that Nehemiah had a strong relationship with God and that this was foundational to his success as a leader. As we see in Nehemiah and in many other biblical characters, the desired foundation of Christian leadership is a growing relationship with God. The Christian leader must continue to live in Christ, rooted and built up in Him. As we abide in Christ, He will bear fruit through us. I find that the practice of spiritual disciplines, when done in a meaningful way, rallies me to God and His plans for my life. One of the most useful tools I've found for establishing and growing these disciplines is called the rule of life. A rule of life is an intentional plan to deepen one's relationship with God and to position oneself to love and serve others more effectively. Like what Peter Scazzaro says in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, I'm learning that one's rule of life should encompass all of life. This would include practicing traditional spiritual disciplines such as prayer and listening to God through His Word, but also cultivating healthy relationships, fostering emotional health, and taking care of my body, among others. Everything can be an act of worship to God as we live all of life with spiritual discipline. Throughout the Nehemiah narrative, we see evidence of Nehemiah's godly character. The fact that he was cupbearer to the king showed that he was trustworthy. We see his humility in his opening prayer, where he poured out his heart to God in confession and repentance. Nehemiah demonstrated compassion when he wept over the disgrace that had been brought upon God's people. He executed justice in dealing with the rich landowners who were charging interest on loans to their neighbors. We also see that Nehemiah was a man of courage. He risked his job and perhaps even his life when he asked the king if he could leave his job to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. He bravely faced both internal and external challenges that threatened to completely derail the building project. We also see that Nehemiah was generous as he fed 150 people each day from his own pocket. We also catch glimpses of Nehemiah's wisdom. Even when he asked the king for permission to go to Jerusalem, Nehemiah had the foresight to ask for letters of safe conduct and supplies to rebuild the gates. In addition, he wisely responded to opposition and the problem of charging interest on loans. We see Nehemiah's integrity when he refused to hide in the temple after he became aware of a supposed plot to assassinate him. Seeking refuge in the temple in this situation would have been sinful, and Nehemiah would have lost all credibility. He chose to act with integrity. Another admirable character quality that surfaces in Nehemiah's story is his responsiveness. He hears about the need in Jerusalem and immediately responds. He hears about the poor people selling their kids into slavery to repay their debts, and he deals with it. As threats come, he addresses them quickly without losing sight of the bigger vision. Facing a difficult task made even more challenging by internal and external threats, Nehemiah persevered. I'm not sure how I would have done with all those challenges. I admire how Nehemiah hung in there and was willing to face the opposition and internal discord. Obviously, Nehemiah had weaknesses and even character flaws. Yet throughout the book that bears his name, we see a man of godly character, one worthy of emulation. From a New Testament perspective, how do we develop godly, Christ-like character? As we increasingly submit ourselves to Christ's lordship and experience an ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to imitate God and follow Jesus' example of love. Scripture describes many admirable character qualities, such as the fruit of the Spirit, being wise, holy, just, humble, and courageous. Growth in these kinds of qualities greatly enhances our ability to reflect Christ and lead in God-honoring ways. We will acquire these kinds of traits in increasing measure as we surrender ourselves to God, deal with sin in our lives, associate with godly people, leverage Scripture to bring about necessary change, allow trials to shape our character, and expose ourselves to opportunities that foster growth in desired areas. Nehemiah also understood God's purpose. On the surface, God's purpose for Nehemiah was to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. However, there was a deeper purpose, which we see in different places within the narrative. The ultimate purpose was to deal with the disgrace of God's people, to remove the blemish upon God's name, and to restore God's honor in Israel. Rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem was really a means to an end. It was part of a larger purpose that God had for Nehemiah. Understanding and living out one's God-given calling is another key ingredient for effective Christian leadership. Scripture says that we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. This suggests that God has a unique plan for each of our lives. What is this plan or calling? I use a process with my students at Acts Seminaries that helps them understand their God-given calling, which includes life purpose, core values, and vision. The process invites participants to prayerfully explore Scripture, their defining moments, which often contain God-ordained themes that point people in certain directions, their interests, desirable character traits, areas where they and others have seen God's blessing on their endeavors, and their areas of gifting and strength. As people discover or re-envision God's call in their lives, they're in a good position to determine where and how they should serve. In addition, they're often filled with purpose, passion, and a willingness to make sacrifices to live out that calling. This kind of understanding and passion is essential for effective Christian leadership. We also see that Nehemiah strengthened community, whether it was dealing with the rift between the rich landowners and the families who had sold their children to them to pay off their debts, or getting people to work around a common vision. In chapter 3, we see many people with diverse skills working together to rebuild the walls. The community had banded together around a common vision. Even the finished wall itself provided a place of safety and solidarity, a place for building an even stronger community. As Nehemiah demonstrates, building strong community is critical for leading effective groups and organizations. We must grow in our ability to love one another deeply from pure hearts. It's in the context of healthy relationships that people can build trust with each other. Of course, there are other elements to building trust, such as the perceived competence and credibility of others, but relational chemistry is certainly an important piece. A loving Christian community is also a powerful witness to the world. Jesus said that our love for each other will broadcast the fact that we are Christians. Leaders can foster relational development by setting a strong example of loving others and by providing opportunities for people to build relational bridges with each other. Nehemiah leveraged the power of team. He couldn't have rebuilt the walls by himself. He mobilized people to make it happen with God's help. The leadership development literature gives considerable attention to team building. Jesus taught the masses and ministered to individuals, but his primary training was with his team of disciples. He poured his life into them. Effective Christian leaders know that a team can often accomplish more than what team members could achieve individually. Even though people who do not particularly like each other can learn to work together, fostering relational closeness within a team is the best strategy for going beyond team building to building a loving and caring community. As a part of the team building process, it's often helpful to learn about each other's strengths and weaknesses. For example, through a Myers-Briggs assessment or by doing the StrengthsFinder inventory, and to practice functioning as a team. Doing activities and challenges that encourage team members to leverage their strengths on behalf of the team. We also see that Nehemiah used different skills. He inspected the walls, he cast the vision for rebuilding it, and he responded to opposition with wise countermeasures, like arming the workers. He mobilized people and supported them in this important work. Nehemiah demonstrated numerous key leadership skills. Effective leaders are lifelong learners. We need to continually hone our skills related to important leadership practices like managing conflict, making wise decisions, developing leaders, building and communicating vision, and fostering a learning orientation within our organizations. In addition, the rapid pace of societal change means that leaders must acquire new competencies to increase their effectiveness. Strengthening skills is another important Christian leadership practice. Nehemiah, he had a growing relationship with God as seen in his prayer life. He demonstrated godly character. He knew God's calling on his life and lived it out. Nehemiah sought to strengthen the community of which he was a part and mobilized those within that community to do a great work. Through it all, we see that Nehemiah led skillfully. What is particularly intriguing about these leadership practices that we see in Nehemiah is that we see the same pattern throughout Scripture. They provide a biblical framework for developing ourselves and others as leaders whom God can use in a maximum way. I love building capacity in seasoned and emerging Christian leaders so that they can serve God more effectively. As I do so, I found it helpful to focus my energies on these six key leadership practices that we see in Nehemiah and throughout Scripture. Questions I ask are, how am I personally growing in these six areas, and how can I help others grow in these practices as well? One way to envision these six practices is to view them as layers in a pyramid, with a growing relationship at the bottom, followed by godly character, community, team, and skills at the top. Using a pyramid to represent the Christian leadership practices has its shortcomings. However, one of the strengths of the pyramid metaphor is that it clearly portrays the importance of those foundational layers. We can have extensive knowledge and exceptional leadership skills. We may be able to build strong teams and foster meaningful communities. Yet without a growing relationship with God, will we be able to reflect Him in a vibrant and sustainable way? Will we truly hear God's call and have what it takes to live it out daily? I believe that Christian leaders who desire to serve in God-honoring and effective ways strengthen each of the six leadership practices in themselves and others while prioritizing those foundational elements. Why? So that we might be more effective in loving God, loving others, and making growing disciples of Jesus, both where we live and around the world. In my view, that is Christian leadership at its best.